Boker Tov, and welcome back to Shir and Daf Yomi. We are starting a second Shir in Masechet Moed Katan. And a number of the things that we're going to do in the first half of this morning's Shir will be very much replicated from yesterday, and those parts we will do rather quickly. My Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, Itmar Choresh Bashvi'it. If somebody plows during Shemitah, the question is whether this is an Isur D'Oraita or an Isur D'Rabbanan. And the result of that would be whether or not you get Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Chanamar Lokeh, Chanamar Eino Lokeh. Right, so this, by the way, doubles back to the sugya that we saw yesterday as to whether it should be an obvious thing that Harisha is prohibited on during Shemitah, which would then allow for any possibility of watering as per Rabba's explanation. But we noticed that that Rava's interpretation on Abai is in a different way, was that the entire problem is Durabbanan. Either in general it's Durabbanan, or else Pizman Azed's Durabbanan. So let's see. There's a dispute, we don't know who said which, as to whether or not you get Malkot for plowing during Shvit. Now, the first possibility raised is an interesting one. Perhaps they're disagreeing about whether to accept the ruling of Rabbi Loi as presented by Rabbi Avin. His rule was as follows. The hermeneutic tool of klal upradu klal, which employs which applies the presentation of a general rule followed by a specific instance, and then in some cases followed up by another general rule or general statement, and reads them as a sequence, and then has certain rules apply about klal uprat and pradu klal and klal upradu klal, yatadan elikin uprat, according to Rabbi Avin, only applies if both the klal and the prat are presented in either the commission-oriented style of an assay or the omission style of a lotase. But if it's mixed, then it is not a klal upradu klal. And our text, as you see in pasuk number 2 on the page, is presented as an assay that shabbat shabbaton yihi ela aretz, it shall be a time of rest, and the specifics are presented as a lotase. So now, if you accept that principle, then that means that there's no klal upradu klal. You cannot extend beyond the explicit words. And therefore, since it doesn't say anything about plowing is not prohibited. Now, mandamar lokeh, leitli Rabbi Avin amar b'loi, mandamar eino lokeh, yidli Rabbi Avin. So lo, l'chuli amar leitli Rabbi Avin amar b'loi. Everybody agrees that we don't accept Rabbi Lo's rule. Mandamar lokeh, so now we have another way of interpreting, of understanding the dispute. The one who says you get makot shapir, that's clear. You get makot for violating the Torah's law. Mandamar eino lokeh, why? Amar lacha mechtiz mir b'chlal zriyo v'ksir b'chlal tzir. This is the exact argument we saw yesterday. After all, the two examples given in the Torah are subsets of the two rules that are given, or the two general categories. The Ma'i Hilchatak Avinu, why did the Torah, Rachmana, why did the Torah write those two examples? Remember, the Hani told the Lehud Machayev, I told the Achrin Lo Machayev, that those are the exclusive examples for which you are culpable. Velo, and then we quote the same writer we saw yesterday, V'atanya Shat Sarcha Lo Tizovacha Macha Lo Tizmor, En Li Elo Seiruo V'zimor V'naim Lo Yidur Li Kishkush Li Kisuach, that stage one seems to prohibit hoeing, etc. Menayin she'in mekarsumin vein mezardin memfaskin ba'ilan, cleaning up the ground. Tamalomar sadchalo kamachalo, kamalachash v'sadchalo, kamalachash v'kamachalo. Menayin she'in mezablin vein mefarkin vein ma'ashtin ba'ilan. This is other forms of preparing the field by fertilizing, etc. I might think you don't dig under the trees. All of these we saw yesterday. That's an entire braita that presents a whole range of activities as being prohibited based on interpreting the psukim, and the answer we said was the same as yesterday. Mi drabanan ukras machta bialma. Those are all drabanan, and the psukim are there simply as a prop to support the isur, the smachta. Good. Okay, now, ki ata Rav Dimi Amar. Here we're going to get to something that is new. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, and he came to the following report. Yachol yoke ala tosefet v'nasiv la tamud liftura. This is what he came back with a report. He said, I might think that you get makot for tosefet. It has to do with Shemitah, we know no more than that. And the Talmud, in the end, actually exempts you. Good. V'lo yadana my Talmud u'may tosefet. And Avdimi said, I don't know what Talmud is, and I don't know what the tosefet is. We have two opinions from Eretz Yisrael as to what it may mean. V'lozor mar charisha, he says that the tosefet is charisha. V'achri kamar yachol yilke'al charisha, I might think that you get makot for charisha, te'at yamichlal upradu klal, because of the ruling, and in the end we rule that you do not get makot, because otherwise what do I need all of the examples of zeruah, of zimur, and bitzirah? Good, that's Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar, by the way, now we understand is the Amora who said you do not get makot for Harisha. Yochanan Amar, what's Tosefet? Yamim shosifu chachamim fnei Rosh Hashanah. We're going to look at this in a moment. The days that the chachamim added before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, which you're not allowed to work the land. V'achri kamar, this is what the meaning of Rav Dimi's statement, the one he carried but he didn't understand. Yachol yilkal tosefet Rosh Hashanah, da'atimi b'chorish v'katzir tishbot, I might think you would get makot for Harisha before, during the time period before Rosh Hashanah, which we get from the Pasuk, Pasuk number one on the page, and we're going to see later on where that is, v'nasiv la'tamur liftura, in the end, we say you do not get makot for that, as we're going to see later on. And in a couple minutes, we'll take a look at that entire piece. So in other words, we have Rav Dimi coming with a report and saying, Rav Elazar interpreted it this way, that the Tosefet is Harisha, and you don't get makot for Harisha. Therefore, Rav Elazar is the Amor who said you don't get makot for Harisha. Rav Yochanan said, no, what is Tosefet? Tosefet means doing any malacha during that additional time. And he said, indeed, you do not get makot for that, but you do get makot for Harisha during Shemitah itself. Good. Now, Ma'ayim Shtefei Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean these days before Rosh Hashanah? K'netnan an matay choshin b'sdei aylan erev shvi'it. We have a Mishnah in Shvi'it that says, until when can you plow in a fruit, in an orchard before Shvi'it? But shamayim kozman she'afel pri, as long as it helps the pri until that point. Kolomim ad atzer till Shavuot. And by the way, they're right around the same time. Until when can you plow a wheat field? Until the time that the dampness is gone. As long as people are still plowing to plant summer vegetables that ripen in the fall. If that's the case, then you have a sliding scale as to when it is. Ella b'stei alavan ara pesach, b'stei alavan ara tzeret. So what's the ruling? Be in a wheat field, it's until pesach, and in an orchard, it's until tzeret. Homim ara pesach. V'hillel say, no, it's until pesach. V'amra b'shum en pazi, amra b'shum en lemishim b'kaper, v'gamliel v'etino nimnu ashnei prakim alalu v'itlum. Then Rav Gamliel and his beitin, after the Chorban Beit HaMikdash, that may be something significant, ended up convening a collegium and annulling these days. Now, which part of these days, we'll have to see. Now we'll put it all together. The question was asked in Eretz Yisrael. Wait a second. Beit Shammai Hillel made a takana that you can't do work before Shvi'it from some point in the spring, either Pesach or Shavuot, depending on the field. How did Rabbi Gamliel and his Beit Din come in and all that? But tonight we have the very famous Mishnah, Eduyot, Ein Beit Din Yachol Vatal, Divrei Beit Din Chavro, and Ken Gadol Menem B'Chochma of Minyan. No Beit Din can annul the ruling of an earlier Beit Din unless they are greater in wisdom. And here you have an interesting machlok at Rishonim, whether it means the head of the Beit Din has to be wiser, or all the members of the Beit Din have to be wiser, and have to be greater in Minyan. And here you have a machloket about whether the size of the Beit Din has to be larger, or whether that means that the majority ruling in favor of the overturn is a greater majority than you originally had. That's what Magarliot's take on it. But in any case, there's no way that Magamliel's Beit Din is considered greater in wisdom than Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. So Shtomim Kishachada, he quotes the pasuk from Daniel that he was sort of shattered and shocked, he had no answer. Amar lo emor kach yitnu b'nein. And so then his answer to him, Rabbi Zeira's answer, or Rav Shlokish's answer was, you know what? I think this is what it is, that this is the condition they made when they made the original law. In other words, they put an escape clause into the decree, saying we're decreeing that these days before you can't work the field. And we're also putting an escape clause in, which is that you can, if a Beit Din comes later to cancel it, we allow for that. Now, Didhuhi? Wait a second. Are the days before Rosh Hashanah? In other words, not working the field during the period before Shemitah is a Durabanan, is a rabbinic decree. It's a Doraita, which is Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. This is a passage we've seen several times. Now, Eser Netiot is the key to here. So quickly, Arava is the mitzvah of Arava in the Beit HaMikdash during Sukkot, and Nisuch HaMayim is the water libation, neither of which is mentioned explicitly in the text. That's Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. And Eser Netiot, which is the Halacha that if you have a Beit Sa'ah, the size of 70 by 70 amot, close to 5,000 square amot, and in it they have 10 saplings that you can plow the entire thing during the period leading up to Shemitah, and you don't have to just plow right around each tree. That's Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, which means that midoraita, there's already a prohibition to work the field unless it's under that particular condition. So Amar B'Yitzchak, give me your Hilchatah Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. So B'Yitzchak fixed it. He says, you're right, there is a law of Doraita of Tosefet Shvit, and that's the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai came along and extended it to say, not only can you not do work from the beginning of Elul, but you already can't do work, depending on the kind of field, from Pesach or from Shavuot beforehand. And they made a condition. Any Beit Din that wants to come in and cancel our extension can do so. Wait, time out. Is it really the prohibition of Tosefet is based on Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai? Cry Ninu. It's based on Psukim. Nine, we have the following Mishnah. The Charish U'Makatzir Tishbot. Pasuk number one on the page says, for 6 days you do work, on the seventh day you rest. The Charish U'Makatzir Tishbot. Resting with regarding plowing and reaping. Now, Rabbi Kiva understands that this cannot be talking about Shabbat. And that the second half of the Pasuk must be talking about Shemitah, because there's no reason to mention Shabbat. We already know that all the Malachot are Asur in Shabbat. Take a look, the interested listener should, and student should take a look at the Ramban's comments here in Chumash. In any case, Charish v'katzir shel shvi'it, shekvar masad chalot yizra v'char mechalot yizmor. So Rabbi Kiva takes it as a given that Charishah and Ktzira are Asur d'oraita during Shemitah, and therefore the text would not have to forbid them. Ala Charish shel erev shvi'it ha'nishnah shechaz l'shvi'it. This must be talking about plowing during the year before Shemitah, and reaping the fruits that grew during Shemitah. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's actually about Shabbat. Just like all plowing that you do is up to you, so the reaping that's prohibited on Shabbat is the reaping that is your personal reaping. The one exception to that is cutting the omer's worth of barley on second night of Pesach, which is a mitzvah. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, you see that cutting the barley on the night after Pesach is docha Shabbat. You do it on Shabbat because the Torah here specifically compared Charish and Katsir, and it's specifically talking about Shabbat. So if Machlok Rabbi Shmuel Akiva about whether the second half of the Pasuk is talking about Shemitah, as per Rabbi Akiva, or consistent with the first half of the Pasuk talking about Shabbat. But if we accept that it's talking about Shemitah, then that means the prohibition of plowing before, in other words, Tosefet, already is Doraita, and not from Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. Good. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kigmiri Hilchata L'Mishra Yalda, Kray L'Meisar Zekena. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak tries to split the hairs and says that the Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai is there to allow for saplings. Yalda is a sapling. And the Psukim are there to prohibit with trees that are already old trees. Well, that you don't need. If the Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai is going out of its way to permit a sapling, then obviously anything not a sapling is prohibited. You don't need a pasuk. Simply, it's a machloket. Rabbi Shmuel accepts the Rabbi Yochanan's report that there's a Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai because he does not understand the pasuk that way. And the pasuk, which is interpreted that way by Rabbi Akiva does not accept this report of Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. That is... Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, so that's the first presentation. The first presentation, which is Rabbi Yitzchak, is that the Torah forbids 30 days before, whether by Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai or by Psukim. And Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, Hillel extended it to much earlier. But Gamliel Beit Dino came along and canceled that extension and brought it back to 30 days before. That is Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan says differently. Gamliel Beit Dino mi doraita batiluhu. They canceled the entire Tosefet. My Tama, Gamar Shabbat, Shabbat mi Shabbat Bereshit. They had a Gzerah Shavah from the fact that Shemitah is called Shabbat and the weekly Shabbat is called Shabbat. Ma lahalan hi asura lefanel acharya mutarin. Just like Shabbat, the day itself is prohibited, but the day before and the day after are permitted to do work. So Afkan, hi asura lefanel acharya mutarin. The same thing, Shemitah itself is prohibited. And anything before Shemitah or right after Shemitah is permitted. What? Matkif avashi mandam rehilchata atzik zera shava akra hilchata? Wait a second. If you have halacha l'mishmi Sinai, you got a gzera shava, it trumps that? If you interpret the pasuk a certain way, a gzera shava trumps that? In other words, either source, from Bikivis source or Rishmael source, who's going to come along later and say, no, we found a gzera shava that trumps that? Ela amravashi, this is the proper way to read it. Why did they cancel Tosefet, according to Rabbi Yochanan? They hold, first of all, it's not psukim, it's halachal Moshe Sinai. Vechig miri hilchata, when do we accept this halachal Moshe Sinai? Bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam. That only when there was a beit hamikdash, akin to nisuch hamayim and arava, the other two items in the halachal Moshe Sinai. Do nisuch hamayim arava bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam lo, but when there is no beit hamikdash, there is no halachal Moshe Sinai of Eser Netiyot, which means there is no prohibition of Tosefet, and therefore, according to this second report, Rabban Gamliel of Beit Dino canceled the entire Tosefet, not just up and back to 30 days. And that is what's represented on the page, which is in item number 5, and the later development, opinion number 1 and opinion number 2. Good. Now back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah we said that you are allowed to use a spring, even a new spring, but you're not allowed to use brain water or cistern water. So Bishlama me kilon ikatircha yatera. I understand that drawing water, there's a lot of tircha. Elameg shamim my tircha ika, but if you have rainwater that's accumulated in a pool, what's the big tircha of then extending it and digging a ditch and having it come into the field? Said, you're right, make shamim itself is not a problem, but it's so similar to drawing water that one is a precaution against the next. Rashi Amar, make shamim gufayu lidei mekilon atu. Rashi says, it's not a precaution that is a legal precaution, it's a practical precaution, meaning if you run out of rainwater, and if you decide to water your field and the rainwater is not sufficient, and there's not already a flowing spring that's coming in there, then with a relatively unending supply for our needs, then you're going to go start drawing water from the well. Now, can we Paul give it to Rabbi Zera? They disagree about Rabbi Zera. Dam Rabbi Zera Amar Rabba Bar Yumi Amar Shmuel. And Harota Moshchin Mayim Minagamim Mutar Lashkot Mehen B'Chulo Shomoed. If you have rivers that come directly from pools of water, you're allowed to use them on Chol HaMoed to draw water. And that's exactly what we have with the Meg Shamim. Mar Eat Leid Rabbi Zera Umar Leit Leid Rabbi Zera. So Rav Ashi accepts Rabbi Zera's decree. And therefore he says that you are not allowed to use such waters. Rabbi Yochanan says you are allowed to use such waters, but there's a precaution against that leading to using cistern waters. Now, let's look at that statement again. If you have water that pulls out of a pool, comes out of a pool, a rivulet that comes out of a pool, so Rabbi Yirmiyah challenged Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera, now this, by the way, Rabbi Yirmiyah is an Amor in Eretz Yisrael. This is important because Rabbi Zera, if you remember, made Aliyah from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he said to Rabbi Zera, how can you tell me you're allowed to use these pools and the rivulets that come out from them? After all, we have an explicit Mishnah that prohibits using rainwater, which is exactly what you're talking about. Amar le Yirmiyah bri hani agamim de Bavel kamay de lopaskit mi, tamu. Said to his student in a very endearing tone, Yirmiyah, my son, these pools in Bavel are like flowing waters. In other words, you're right. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have such flowing waters coming out of collections of rainwater. But in the pools that accumulate in Bavel are so lush and overfilled that the water is like, it's almost like a river. And that you could certainly use just like a spring. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to go through several different kinds of circumstances where waters can or cannot be used, may or may not be used. Hapsikot v'habreichot. These are little pools. Shenit malum ayim of Yom Tov. They became filled before Yom Tov. Asur lashkot me'am b'chol ha'shamoid. You can't use them at Chol HaMoed because it's like make shamim. Matam matam ayim over b'nehem. But if there is an irrigation trench that comes from them, or from a, shall we say, from a spring to them, mutar. Rav Papa says that's as long as the entire field could be done in one shot. Why? Since it's flowing. If I can't do it all today, I'll do part today and part tomorrow. That's okay, as long as there is a constant flow. Good. So in other words, you have a pool of water sitting in a field, and there is a spring that flows into it. You can use the water that's in that pool to water the field, because you're really continuing from the spring. Tanu Rabbanan. Brecha shenotefet mayim misdei beit hashlochin zo. If you have a pool that is dripping from one beit hashlochin, mutar lashkot mena asdei beit hashlochin acheret. If it's flowing, you can use it for another beit hashlochin. We're assuming here terraces, and it's flowing down. Vavida de paska, sometimes it might stop. Amirmi avadayim mitaftefet. It has to be that it's constantly dripping, there's a constant inflow. And Abaye adds a stipulation that has to be that the original spring that's the source of all this water is still flowing. So it can't be that the water is now accumulated in the pool and it's coming from there and it's still dripping, but the original source is gone, because then very soon it's going to stop. Good. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Menashe Omer, Shtei Arugot Zula Ma'alam Izuf. You have two vegetable beds, one higher than the other. Again, terrace. Lo Yad Lemina Tachtona V'Yashke Tal Yona. You should not lift up water from the lower one to give water to the upper one. Talking about Rabbi Ozer, Rabbi Shimon, Afidu Aruga Achat. Even if it's one bed, Chatzia Namuch Chatzia Gavoa. If it's sloped a little bit, Lo Yad Lemina Makom Namuch V'Yashke Makom Gavoa. You can't pick it up, Lo, to draw it up to give water to the higher one. That's too much tircha. Tana Rabbanan, Madlim Yirakot Kedei LeOchlan. But we do find that you're allowed to draw water in order to pour it on vegetables that you're going to eat on the Moed. V'mishvil Yapotan, which just to make them look better, or a little bit better while they're in the ground, Asur. That's already Harvacha, that's not Pseida. Ravina V'Rabba Tosfa Havu Ka'azli B'Orcha. So we have a story with which we end this morning. Ravina and Rabba Tosfa were walking on the way. Chazul Ogaver D'Havu Dali Davla B'Chula D'Moada. They saw a guy with a pail drawing water on Chol HaMoed. Amarli Rava Tosfa Le Ravina. So Rava Tosfa said, Leitim Arla Shamte, let's throw him in Cherem for violating our law. Ravina said, why should we throw him in Cherem? After all, we have a Braita that says you're allowed to draw water in order to put it on vegetables you're going to eat on Chol HaMoed. Maybe he's going to eat these vegetables. Marli Misavat Mai Madlin. Madlin Maya, you think Madlin means to draw water? Mai Madlin Shalufi. Madlin means to take some out. In other words, from the word dal, not dal lamed lamed, not dal lamed hey. Dal lamed lamed means to become impoverished. You can impoverish, meaning to take out some of the vegetables in order to let the other vegetables grow. And on hamedel b'gfanim, right? Kesher shemedel v'shelo kachu medel v'shelanim. This is a Mishnah in Peah that says that if you take out some of the vines in order to give the others room to grow, then just like you've taken some of your own out, you've also taken some of the anim out, and that cuts down the percentage of pay. Tiv Rabbi Yehuda, Meir Omer b'shelo b'shai ben b'shai b'shel anim. So Rabbi Meir disagrees and says you don't have the right to do that to the shel anim. The anim get therefore their percentage from the original amount that was there. But that's not our concern. Our concern is the language. He says that medel doesn't mean lahadlot, to draw out, but rather lidlot, lidaldel, as it were, to impoverish by taking some out. So Ravina said, but we have an explicit braita that says you're allowed to draw water to put it on the fruit in order to if you're going to eat them. Amar le'itanya tanya. So Rav Tosfa said, good. If there's a braita, there's a braita, which most people understand means that I give. There was a braita I didn't know, and now I understand that it's okay. We're not going to throw the guy in chayim. There is, by the way, a Rashi in Masachet Nida in which he reads it the opposite way, in which itanya tanya means there might be a braita like that, but I'm holding my ground. But the simple approach to this is to say that he conceded the point, and that madlin here means to draw the water, and the fellow was on safe ground. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and we will continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.